Several decades ago, I had the pleasure of meeting a retired American Baptist minister. I met him through a job that I had in college, and it was the kind of job where both college students and those who retired worked together. And I spent several years working with him summers and getting to know him. I valued that time. I enjoyed conversation with him. It was clear that he was a learned man. As a Baptist minister, he did something I can't imagine doing, which is he actually wrote his sermons in Greek and preached from the Greek manuscript. Trust me, I cannot do that. One day, and I remember this day so clearly, he told me that he had some sad news to share with me. He had been having health issues, and recent tests revealed that he had cancer. And it was far along, and it had advanced. It was through much of his body, and there really was not much to be done for him. This news for me was devastating. I was certainly concerned for him, worried what he was going to face as this illness progressed. And I was very sad that our time working together would come to an end. Now, I'm in my 20s, and also, so I'm not very proficient at this kind of thing, and also it's hard to know what to say in a moment like that. So I offer some halting words, some condolences, express my sadness. When I was finished, he just very patiently looked at me, and he said, "I'll be all right." And then he went on to say that God is faithful. God has such love and care for all creatures, he said, that the sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. And then after a poignant pause, he added, "But the sparrow still falls." I have to tell you that many decades later, I still marvel at his deep faith, at how in the midst of this difficult time for him, he was comforting me. And the peace that he had, and this was true to the very end, the peace he had as he approached his death. Though he was facing this devastating illness that would end his life, he had compassion and caring for me. As I reacted to his news, he reminded me of God's care and faithfulness, of how God knows and loves every creature, every one of us, but also that every creature has an appointed time to die. The words that this wise and faithful minister said to me are from today's gospel, and every time I hear them, I can't help but think of him, of his deep statement of trust in God. Because of his witness in the face of a terminal illness, today I find great hope and comfort in the words of Jesus, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." Do not be afraid. The hairs of your head are counted by God. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not fear those who can kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. We are all safe in God. Jesus today is telling us not to be afraid, and this is not an empty promise from him. It is not a denial of reality, but instead it is trustworthy and true. Jesus does not deny the reality that terrible things happen. Jesus does not ignore the difficult state of the world. Jesus knows the reality is that war rages around the world, that children die of poverty and neglect, that women's full access to health care is under attack, that countless unarmed men of color face violence at the hands of police, that access to education, employment, and financial security are denied too many people, especially those of color. That LGBTQ people are scapegoated by politicians and face violent attacks and discrimination. These terrible realities are fact, they are true. They describe the harsh state of our world, but they do not reflect God's desire for humanity. In fact, God's will for us. Though many are abandoned by our society, none ever are forgotten by God. No one falls without God knowing. God makes no peace with oppression or injustice, and neither should we. All who follow Jesus are called to be his disciples and to reject the unjust ways of this world, to make real in this place the heavenly city of God right now, here on earth. Today's gospel is a continuation of the passage we heard last week when Jesus gathered his 12 disciples and gave them authority to heal and to preach and sent them out to the lost sheep, to those who are alone, are helpless, who have no one to lead them. Jesus commissioned the disciples to be his healing and compassionate presence in the world. What we hear today is a continuation of that, and it's Jesus' teaching just before the disciples go out. And Jesus is preparing them that it's not all going to be easy, that they will face hard things in the world. There'll be those who will hear their teaching and receive it, and there are those who will welcome the disciples into their homes, who will listen to them, who will receive healing and restoration. But some will be hostile, will reject their preaching and their healing. Some may even be violent and persecute them. The disciples' own families may reject them, hating what they do by following Jesus. Now, often in a gospel passage like this, there are layers of meaning, and there's that most obvious superficial level, which is Jesus teaching those he's about to send out, teaching them in the first century. But then there's often at least one, if not more, deeper levels, and that is about what is happening in the time the gospel comes into being. And this layer shows the concerns and realities that were facing the community of Matthew's time. It's a window into this time in the early decades of the Christian church. And in this layer, Matthew is offering a glimpse of the early Christian community's struggles, how they were a group facing persecution by the religious authorities, how their own families were persecuting them because they had left the synagogue to follow Jesus. They were being persecuted for their discipleship, and some people show them hostility and sometimes even violence. And so Jesus is offering words of hope, of strength, to his first followers, as well as all those who come later, speaking even to us across time and space. And his teaching reflects the challenges that his followers face in each and every age. Jesus knows that being his disciple is not easy or without cost. To follow Jesus means walking the way of the cross, a road that is difficult. It requires giving up our self-will and living by loving service of others. It challenges the assumptions and practices of our world, our families, even what we believe. The gospel rejects the values and the practices of this world, and because it challenges those assumptions and values, taking up one's cross leads to sometimes tension with others and can result in, at different times, outright persecution. That's happened through history. It even happens in some parts of the world today. And so the cross is a threat to the ways of this world because it challenges evil powers. It rejects hatred and violence. It condemns inequity and injustices. The cross asserts that all people have value, that all are beloved of God. To embrace the cross is to find meaning and purpose not in what this world values, money, possessions, power over others, but to find value in humble, loving service. The promise of the cross is that no matter what the followers of Jesus face, no matter what we face, no matter the pains and the difficulties that we endure, God is always present. The power of God's love will defeat the evil powers of this world. God conquers sin and death. God will deliver us, will bring us to resurrection life so that we follow him in the way that he has gone before. In our epistle today from Paul's letter to the Romans, I have to say it's one of my favorite passages. We read it at the great vigil of Easter just after we renew our baptismal vows by candlelight. And then we proclaim Christ is risen, and then we hear this reading. This lesson proclaims in baptism we share in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Through the waters of baptism, we die to the old life, the life of sin, and we are given a share in Christ's resurrection. Through baptism, we are incorporated into Jesus. We literally put on his identity so that we become his body. In the waters of baptism, we drown to the ways of this world in those life-renewing waters, leaving behind self-will, alienation, even fear. In the font, we rise to the divine life of God. We are claimed as God's own, as beloved children of God, as heirs of eternal life. And so whatever pains, sorrows, difficulties befall us, whatever trials and sufferings we experience, the promise of baptism is that we will be delivered, that we are safe in God forever. And so because of this promise, we can dare to let go of fear. We can face the present reality. We can endure and persevere in the call given us, resting in the promise that we share in Christ's resurrection life. We can faithfully follow where Jesus leads the way, embracing with all our heart, with all our will, that great paradox of following Jesus, that in losing our life, we find it. And we find life that is true life, abundant life, life eternal with God. The call to be a disciple is not easy. There's great cost. It requires obedience and faithfulness. It is listening closely to the teachings of Jesus, learning from him, being formed by him, changed by him, and then sent forth by him, going into the world in his name, responding to need. May we rest secure in the knowledge that we are known by God as surely as that sparrow is known, that we are safe in God forever. Though we live in challenging and disorienting times, God will never abandon us. And we find meaning and purpose in Christ Jesus, who claims us as his own forever. Resting in the power of the cross, sharing in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we discern our call in this time and this place. And may we say yes always to Jesus, be sent out by him in compassion and love, and claim the authority that he gives us so that we are agents of his healing and reconciliation. In all things, at all times, may we live and proclaim to all people the good news entrusted to us. Amen.